I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anilio, and you're listening to The Functional Nerds. This is going to be episode number 246.
That is Patrick. He is an author, a blogger, and a Hugo Award-winning podcaster for the SF Signal podcast. You can check him out at atfmb.com. Follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anilio. I am a musician and a podcaster and a teacher. And you can check out my website, johnanilio.com. We've got some music there. And you can follow me on Twitter at John Anilio. This week is a Just the Two of Us episode.
Just
very special.
The Two of Us.
Mm-hmm. Then that came up. I've been using Apple Music, and I don't know if I did Apple Music as a pick in a recent episode or not. I will at some point if I have.
I think you did.
I feel like I did too. Yeah.
Here's the thing. iTunes at this point is pissing me off. It's pissing me off. It used to be this great piece of software for organizing your music and being here, but now even like on my phone, if I want to listen to the Beatles on shuffle, there is no functionality inside of iTunes to do that. I have to go to Siri.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's
on my phone, there's no shuffle for an artist. You can shuffle a playlist. You can shuffle all your songs. You can't shuffle an artist. You have to go, you know, beep, beep. You have to basically go, Siri, please shuffle the Beatles. And now she's shuffling the Beatles.
Okay, there you go. She's like literally like shuffling like mop tops, you know. No, I hadn't used iTunes really for the past, not with any consistency, for the past 3 years or so. I've been using Spotify that whole time. And I think...
You can't get the Beatles on Spotify.
No, I know. They're not there.
Yeah.
That was the problem is that, and this is the problem. Now, Apple Music, I there are things I don't like about the iTunes software on your computer. I feel like it was better at one point. I feel like it's very hard to navigate.
Yeah.
And so I can get it to do what I want, but it's hard to navigate. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why is this? There's
10 times worse on iOS. 10 times worse on iOS.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing that Apple Music does that I was expecting it to do, that I dreamed of it doing, and that it does really well, with the exception of a couple little glitches here and there, is that it combines your personal library of music with whatever is streaming, whatever you don't own personally already. And you can make playlists with, you know, stuff that's streaming, and they have a very big catalog. It's pretty much the same thing as Spotify's. There's some that they have that Spotify doesn't, and vice versa. So you do have to pick that. But like you said, with the Beatles albums, you know, if I want to throw some Beatles songs in on a playlist, it's very easy to do. You could do it in Spotify. It was very difficult to do that though, and it didn't really work that well.
So what do you do if you don't have internet?
The functionality of Apple Music is much less than, because
this is my thing. I have all this music. I don't want to stream it. I already have it. So why the freaking hell do I want to go and stream it? You know, this is the way everybody's going now. It's like everybody's pushing to the cloud. Don't own anything physically. Well, then when you're traveling and you're somewhere where you don't have internet access, you don't have a good cell reception, or you're on that freaking, you know, roam, right? Mm-hmm. on your phone, now you don't have access to any of it. And now what are you doing? Well, you're sitting there going, shit, I don't have my music now.
Well, what you'd have to do some planning. And I used to do this with Spotify when I knew I wasn't going to have great internet access. You can make certain artists or playlists, you can make them available for offline listening. So if you know ahead of time, and maybe you just live in an area where you're never going to have to do it. So you just have to make, if you have the space on your phone, you can make playlists and artists. You can make your whole library. If you have enough room on your phone, you can make your whole library available to use without streaming. So
the problem is now with iTunes, everything is, when you do that now, they're like, but don't you want to sync this to the cloud? And they constantly start reminding you, oh, you need to sync. Like every time I take a picture now, it says, oh, you got to set up your iCloud settings. I don't want your fucking iCloud settings. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't. I used it. Well, yeah, that's what I did. And to really get the most use out of Apple Music, you have to upload your library to the cloud. And that's what I did. And so that I think all the stuff that I'm talking about, you need to do that. And it took about, I feel like it took about a day and a half to do. Yeah. You just have to overnight let it run. I mean, cause I had a very large library and I have a lot of weird stuff that they don't stream, you have your Beatles and all the big holdouts. But in addition to that, if you're someone who's very into music, you may have some albums that you love that were kind of small releases from a little known artist from 10 or 15 years ago, and they're not really streaming for whatever reason. You know, maybe it was a small record company that isn't going to put out, make sure that it's available to stream. So there was a lot of stuff when I was exclusively using Spotify that I didn't really have access to within. Now, again, I could have just had it on my phone as well and had it on iTunes. And if I wanted to listen to a certain album, I'd go over to iTunes and listen to it. But, with music, you tend to, or at least I do, you want to use one system. I want to have it all in one place. And for the most part, it's enabled that. I would like to see some improvements to it. It's a little annoying, or it's very annoying actually with some things, because they do this match, this iTunes match thing. So they scan your library and whatever they have, they don't upload that. Like they're like, well, we got that already. That's cool. Here we go. We got that. We don't need to upload that. But then when they come upon something that they don't have, then they upload it. The problem is they sometimes match the wrong tracks.
Right.
So for instance, sometimes Def Leppard's not on it either. So they're a holdout.
Yeah, they're not on Spotify either. There's a couple of live albums.
Yes.
And let me tell you, his singing voice has not held up.
I love Def Leppard.
I do too.
It's a little, there are some lead vocals on some of that live stuff that leaves a little to be desired.
Oh, yeah.
But so that's the point is that, so with the Hysteria album, for instance,
mm-hmm.
Some of them, they'll play the right tracks, but because they have that live album, it'll say on your phone, hey, we're playing Animal by Def Leppard. They're playing, even though it says Hysteria, they're playing it from that live album. And that is annoying. And it's vice versa with some artists. Sometimes it says it's the live track and they're playing the studio track.
Mm-hmm.
So they need a better system for doing that because that shouldn't be that hard. Like there should be a programming thing where they're like, this is not the same song. Like whatever kind of algorithm or whatever they use to scan your library, I think they're just using names of the tracks and artists. Like I don't think
I think that's exactly what they're doing. And what's funny is, especially on Spotify, you'll look up a song and they'll have six different versions by the same artist.
Mm-hmm.
And there's original, remastered, digitally remastered. Deluxe edition, live edition, blah, blah. And you're going, what in the world? Yeah. Just play the damn song.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what that's the thing. And this is my final thought on Apple Music, because then this can be the Apple Music show, which we want to get into some other stuff today too. But my final thought on it is that what I do really love about it over Spotify is the ability to edit. To cut through all that crap of the deluxe super edition remastered in 2000, just you add what you want from the cloud to your My Music tab, and then you just have what you want. So, I think it's great that there's extra content, but sometimes they'll be like, it's the 20th anniversary reissue of this. So here's the 10 tracks that were originally on it. Here's acoustic versions of everything. Here's live versions of everything. Here's artist commentary. And that's all cool. And that's fine. And I may want to listen to some of that, but I don't want that shuffling through. Like if I want to hear a certain song, I don't want to hear the live version or the acoustic version or the artist commentary in the middle of it. So I just add what I want. So that's good.
Well, and John, sometimes there's weirdness, especially with Spotify. So this last week, I like occasionally to listen to some of the more off the wall stuff from people who like Harry Connick Jr. Everybody knows him for his big band jazz stuff, but he did a couple of funky jazz fusion pop albums, She and I think like Star Turtle, and there was a couple others. And so sometimes I want to listen to those because they're very different, right? And it's not mm-hmm. anything you're used to hearing him doing. And so I was searching him on Spotify, and I was listening to those albums. And then I came back like the next day, and I look at the artist page for Harry Connick Jr., and it's showing something in the corner. So I hit play. It's playing some album of his that isn't even listed under mm-hmm. him as an artist. And I'm going, what the hell album is this? I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it anywhere. Weird. It wasn't on the list, but it was playing it. And I'm like, this is a funky album. I'm going to listen to it. It's different, you know? And so I'm listening to it, but I have no idea what the hell it was or where it came from.
Yeah. I want to see the organizational things improve on all of this stuff.
Well, I hope they're not using Grace Note, because that is just, I mean, that's gotten so messed up over the years.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of improvements to come, but for right now, it's doing what I want. But
all of this is a great conversation that John and I have. This is an example of the nerdy things that we talk about, but we don't get to talk about them often because we always have guests on.
Yeah, so this is why we do the Just the Two of Us. Mm-hmm. So, let's go to, because we do have a main topic today, but let's go to our picks of the week first.
Picks of the week.
And what is your pick, Patrick?
So my pick this week is a DVD.
Ooh, okay.
And it's from the DC Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the DC Animated Universe. It's and I didn't think I was gonna like it, and then I liked it. It's the Justice League Gods and Monsters.
I heard about that.
And are you familiar with the premise?
No, I'm not, actually.
So this is definitely an alternate Earth. Mm-hmm. It's an alternate Earth story, and it's about the Trinity of the DC Universe. And the Trinity of the DC Universe is Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman.
Okay.
This is alternate versions of them. And at first, I thought it was going to be, you know, you've seen like the Injustice League kind of mm-hmm. stuff where it's, you know, Superman kills Lex Luthor and they're all kind of, they take over. I thought it was going to be like that. And it wasn't. You basically have, and gosh, there's no way to talk about it without spoiling some stuff. We'll do it this way. It's not, Superman is not Clark Kent. Mm-hmm. Batman is not Bruce Wayne. And okay. Wonder Woman is not Diana Prince.
Okay.
It's three completely different characters who have taken on those roles in this alternate Earth.
Okay.
This Superman is still the last son of Krypton, but he's different.
Okay.
And I mean, he is different. He's a different person. It's not Kal-El. You have a completely different person is Wonder Woman, and a completely different person is Batman. And they still have come together to form this Justice League, and they sort of kind of work for the government, and Steve Trevor is their government liaison kind of person. And you might remember him from the Wonder Woman books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're definitely more violent. They will kill people. There's cussing in this a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not for kids necessarily. I think your teenagers will be fine with it. Mm. And it was just a very interesting, different story. And Lex Luthor plays a completely different character in this, but it's still Lex Luthor. And it was just a shift, right? A different look at this DC universe through the eyes of these three very different characters. I don't think I'm spoiling anything because it was in the trailers and in the clips that they released of this. This Batman character is actually a vampire.
Oh, that's cool.
And so one of the things he does is, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to arrest you. I'm going to suck the blood from you and drain you and leave you for dead. So, you know, stuff like that. It was a very interesting DVD.
Cool.
I didn't think I was going to like it as much as I did. Because I'm not a fan of, like, reboots. And this wasn't necessarily a reboot. This was something that Bruce Timm from Batman and Superman and Justice League, the animated shows, put together, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the hell out of it. So that's my pick.
Cool. Awesome. Really good. Really good. I'm going to pick a TV show too. One that I watched on Hulu. It is I don't think I picked this yet. I think it is a Adult Swim show. Did I pick Rick and Morty yet?
Mm-mm, no.
No, okay. I'm gonna pick Rick and Morty. I don't know if our listeners out there are familiar with it. Rick and Morty is an animated show that was on Adult Swim, and I was a big fan of South Park and Family Guy and The Simpsons and all that. But like, I haven't watched a new episode of any of those shows in many, many years.
Yeah,
I could not tell you the last new Family Guy episode I watched or new. And I know they're chugging along and they still make good episodes. And, you know, I'm sure some of them are good and some of them maybe aren't as good and all that. And it's not that I made a decision like, I don't like this stuff anymore. It's just, you know, it's a thing where it's like, well, I'm an adult and I don't have copious amounts of free time. It's like, I have my job, I have my family. I have whatever artistic pursuits I have. I'd like to spend my time kind of reading as much as I can. I find that to be a little more fulfilling. And the TV that I do watch, tends to be, you know, more not cartoons, not comedies. It tends to be more, you know, science fiction shows or whatever. And I usually have one show going at a time and I'll kind of work through a season on Netflix, or now that the fall season's starting and a lot of those shows will be on Hulu, like I'll be watching, you know, Arrow and Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that. And so that'll kind of keep me busy. So I watch an episode of TV per night, maybe, probably not even a whole one. If it's a 45 minute show, I'll probably watch half of it and then watch the other half the next night. I'm good for maybe 25 minutes of TV in a night before I get sleepy. But they were talking about Rick and Morty on Cord Killers a lot. Tom Merritt and Brian Brushard were both just very effusive in their praise of the show. And I saw it pop up on Hulu and I'm like, I don't know. I just, there, you know, it's before the fall season started of shows. And I kind of reached the end of whatever I was watching. I'm like, let me give this a shot. And, oh boy, is it great. It's really funny. It's on Hulu. They have the first season and I think it's only like 12 episodes or something. So it's not much that's there now. And I think the current season is showing right now on Adult Swim, but it's not on Hulu. You can buy the episodes on another streaming service, but it's not on Hulu yet. But it's great. If you like those kind of other shows that I mentioned, it's good, but it's very sort of Doctor Who-y. I don't know if you've seen it before, Patrick.
No.
It's sort of like a cartoon comedy version of Doctor Who. So there's this family, and Chris Parnell does the voice of the dad, and the one actress, Sarah Chalk from Scrubs, does the voice of the mom. And it's these kids, and Dan Harmon who's the creator of Community. He's one of the producers of this, and they have a son, Morty, who's like not a very smart. He's a kid, but he's very neurotic and he's very anxious. And his grandfather, who's the wife's father, Rick Sanchez, he's like a super genius, but he's also an alcoholic and he's just kind of crazy. And he's so much smarter than everybody. And he's constantly like burping and like, you know, spittle is coming out of his mouth and he's slurring his words, but he's a super genius. And basically he and Morty is his companion. And like, so Rick is sort of the Doctor Who and Morty is the companion. And they go on adventures to like other dimensions where they just encounter all sorts of crazy stuff. It's really funny. So if you want like a cartoon comedy version of Doctor Who, but Doctor Who being an alcoholic grandfather, if that sounds like something you'd enjoy, and how could you not? It's really so much so that the theme music of Rick and Morty, I'm like, they have to be playing royalties to Doctor Who. It sounds like the Doctor Who theme song. It's like, it's like that theremin kind of. It's great though. But yeah. So if you have Hulu, it's on that to stream for free. Otherwise, you can watch it on comedy on Adult Swim or buy the episodes.
So John, there was a question I wanted to ask. Within our sphere of community and influence on Twitter, a lot of people are losing their shit over Steven Universe.
Yeah, that's another one that I hear pop up. That's the other one I'm going to check out.
Have you even, you haven't checked it out yet?
No, I have not.
I haven't checked it out yet. But everybody is just flipping out over it.
Well, in the Fran Wilde episode, I noticed that she made a reference to it during your interview with her. And I was like, yeah, I got to check that one out too. I think that's an Adult Swim show as well.
No, right? It's Cartoon Network. It's just Cartoon Network.
Okay. So do they have Adult Swim anymore? Like, I don't even know what's going on.
I think
like,
they do. That. Yeah, I think they do. But I think this is, well, it might be part of Adult Swim. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either.
The Wikipedia entry doesn't mention Adult Swim.
Okay.
So that's why I'm thinking it's not. It just says, let's see here. Steven Universe is an American animated television series created by Rebecca Sugar for Cartoon Network. It is the coming age story of a young boy named Steven who grows up with three magical aliens, the crystal gems Garnet, Amethyst, and Pearl, and helps them protect the world from their own kind. A part of Cartoon Network Studios' artist-driven shorts program, Steven Universe is the first Cartoon Network series to be created by a woman and was developed by Sugar while she worked on the Cartoon Network series Adventure Time.
Okay, cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it doesn't, mention Adult Swim. So
yeah, well, that might be on Hulu or it might be on Netflix, but I will definitely
take a look. I don't think it's on Netflix, but
I don't think so either. They had some of those shows at one point, but
yeah, I think Amazon and Hulu took all the Cartoon Network shows off of Netflix. I think they got like,
think
the contract.
Yeah, I think you're right. Cool. Well, that is my pick then. That's all awesome. Right. Yeah, no, it's really good. I think you would dig it. So cool. All right. Well, today we are announcing, we've mentioned it
in passing,
but Patrick and I are launching a Patreon. I don't know, however you want to pronounce
Patreon.
It. Petroleum. I don't know, something like that. We have talked
was it,
about
it. What's the spell? Patronus?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Horrible Patrick Harry, and I kind of Harry Potter
have
fan.
Have talked about doing a Patreon for at least a year. This has been something in the works for a long time. You know, there are Kickstarter was a big thing for, and I guess it's still a big thing depending on what you do. And we saw some podcasts do Kickstarters and we talked briefly about doing that and decided it wasn't for us. I kind of think Kickstarter doesn't make sense for a podcast. Kickstarter is good for a project, but a podcast is ongoing and it's, and we do it every week. I know we've missed a couple weeks recently, but that's very unusual for us. You know, if we miss a week, we won't miss another week for a long time. So we're pretty consistent week to week. So when Patreon was launched, I remember even thinking, yeah, that something like that could work. And we've seen some podcast friends have success with it. And
Expecto Patronum.
Ah, there you go.
Bug me.
Yeah, no, well, thank you. We've seen some podcasters have success doing Patreon, and it's something that we thought, you know what, why not? Why not give it a shot? We have some listeners. God bless you who like will give us some PayPal money or just, you know, write us and ask about, you know, how can we support the show? And so we want to make for people like that or people who maybe don't even think about that kind of thing, just give you the opportunity to, if you want to help support the show, I think this is a really great way to do it because it's a way where it's, you can get more out of the show because if we start reaching certain levels, and we'll explain how it's going to be all set up, we will be able to make it a better show. We will be able to add more to the show, add more to the website, have different shows. There's a lot of stuff that we'd like to do. And Patrick and I were talking a little bit about this off air about how, yeah, we, like a lot of creative people, have lots of ideas, but we're already doing a lot of stuff. You know, Patrick's doing his writing, he's got his day job. He does the SF Signal podcast. He does this podcast. He does some editing. Like, he does lots of stuff. I do lots of stuff. Great ideas come, and it's like, don't have the time to do that. Like, my plate's full already. I can't commit to anything else. So one of the reasons we want to do this Patreon is if we're getting some financial support, then it'll make it, you know, give a lot of motivation to do these extra things. It'll
now
make
we're
it.
Obligated to give you more.
Yes. Yeah. So, and I just really like the idea of Patreon. It's a way where if you're getting value out of the show, then you can do it. We don't run ads. We've in the, however many years we've been doing this and how many years is it now, Patrick?
It's like 5.5.
Yeah. So we've been doing the show for in podcast years. That's a long time.
Yep.
You know, 5.5, 6 years is a very long time. We were, I'm not saying we're one of the first podcasts, but like, we're in the early days of podcasting for sure. And we've run a handful of ads over the course of that time.
So let's put it a different way. We've always operated in the red.
Yes.
It costs, essentially, we've split the cost. John pays for the hosting of the audio files, mm-hmm. which we have to do separately than our website. I pay for the website hosting and for the renewal of the domain, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that those are costs and we've never been in the black.
No. Well, and that's fun. You know, and I think Patrick brings up a really funny point because sometimes I can't think of one recently, but I am sure Patrick gets questions like this all the time, but I'll get emails from people by you and like, I'm trying to do this and I can't get this to work with my podcast and it's really not working. And I don't understand.
And it's like those all the time.
Yeah. And almost all the time, it's like, well, what are you doing for hosting? And it's like, yeah, there's some free things out there, but that's your problem. Like, if you want stuff to work, you have to pay for it. And like, we're fine paying for it. It's not, you know, but it's a cost. Let's just put it that way. I was already paying for it because pre-Bandcamp, that's how I put my music out there. I had this box.net. It's like Dropbox, but it's a different company. And we upload the files to that and we pay for that hosting. So that's why we never really have a problem with, you know, our stuff going to iTunes and getting into your device and you listening to it, is because we pay for the hosting. But that's a cost, and it's a significant cost, as is the stuff that Patrick handles. But we want to do a good show, so we're okay paying for
it. And so, like you said, John, we don't do a lot of advertising, really. We've run promos for free. We've run promos where people have thrown a little money our way. And we've always appreciated that. We've had people who donate money on the PayPal donate button, and we appreciate that as well. You know, those little things here and there. It's like, it's funny because we'll get $10 from somebody, and John and I are like, "Woo, we got $10! This is so awesome!" Because we're just so happy that our fans are supporting us, and it's just awesome, and it always makes us feel good. And then, you know, we get a little bit more reinvigorated, and we want to do more podcasting, We had tons of things going on the blog, and it's hard to keep people writing for blogs for free. You know, it's we always feel bad. And this is another thing that happens at SF Signal as well. I know that John over there feels bad that he can't pay contributors because these people are writing posts and they're doing stuff, and there's no money, you know, to them. So one of the things that John and I have discussed is if people started supporting us through this Patreon, we would then go out and get contributors and give them some money in order to write content and keep expanding the nerdy stuff that we talk about, you know, back onto the blog again. So, and we have lots of different ideas about stuff we want to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, we like the idea of Patreon because it is a very structured way to help support. So you can, we have different,
Well, and before we even get into that, John, let's really talk about. So, you mentioned that we have been talking about this for a year. I would say that we've been talking about this for 2 years.
Could be
since Kickstarter, right? We talked about Kickstarter, and then we talked about Patreon, and it's never really made sense to us because we're not the kinds of guys who it's like we don't want to go out there and start bugging people for money.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that John brought to the table one day was he said, you know, Patrick, I'm turning people away who want to be on the podcast because, you know, we can only do so many shows. It's like we do a weekly show, right? So, and we do miss a couple of weeks throughout the year. Typically it's right around Worldcon because I'm traveling and then sometimes in the holidays because we're both doing stuff with family. Those are typically the only times we miss, but that's like 4 or 5 episodes, right? So you figure we're pushing out 47 to 48 episodes a year. So we're fairly consistent, but that means there's only 48 slots available for people to come on. Then you have listeners saying, we really like when just you and John, Patrick, are talking about stuff. So now, you know, we try to fit in a couple of episodes here and there where it's just me and John. So that again, lowers the number of slots that we have to talk to people. So John brings it to the table. He's like, I'm turning people away. We almost have enough people to do another show. And we went, hey, wait a second. Another show?
Yeah, so we, you know, this is what Patrick was talking about. I mean, we're fortunate. We get all these books sent to us. We also have, if you've noticed, we've been trying to expand beyond just science and fiction and fantasy authors. We're trying to get people from gaming on the show. We're trying to get artists. We're trying to get trying to expand the scope of the show. So it's not just like, how do you write your book? And how do you do it? We love having all those authors on, but we want to have other people on too. There's lots of different. So when you put that on, then it's like, it's really turning a lot of people away because I have fantastic relationships with a lot of these publicists and whatnot. And, you know, I get emails from them and I get emails from authors themselves that want to come on the show. And I feel horrible because I'd have them all on.
Right.
You know, if we were able to do this for a living, which we don't have that as a goal necessarily, but like we would do a show every day and mm-hmm. we'd have people on every day. I'd love to do that, but we don't do that right now and can't do that. So one of the things that we want to do with that, we have a couple of ideas for extra shows. One of the ones, and I'm assuming that's what you were leading me to, mm-hmm. Patrick, yeah. Myself and Rob Bedford, who writes for Tor.com and writes for SF Signal and writes for SFF World, he's a local friend as well. And we had the idea to do a show. And that's like, I meet lots of people, and I think Patrick probably has this experience too, where they're like, we should do a podcast together, man. And it's like, based on this, and we'll do a music one, or we'll do a this one. And it's like, I don't have time to do that. Who am I? But Rob and I both like, you know, are pretty extensive, copious readers of science fiction and fantasy. We also like the craft beers of the world. So we have an idea of doing a show where we talk a little bit about craft beer and talk a little bit about science fiction and fantasy, you know, specifically focused on the books, and where we get an author guest on and they'll talk a little bit about books and they will talk about beer too, because I don't know if you know this, Patrick, but a lot of writers like to have an adult beverage from time to time.
I've heard rumors about that. I've never actually seen it. It's like Bigfoot, you know, you don't actually see that anywhere. But what's funny is even you and Rob talking about the idea, you already have authors who want to be on the show. Mm-hmm. The show, we haven't even, nothing. There's like nothing. Yeah. It's just words in the air, and you already have authors going, oh man, I'd be all over that. Yeah, can I be on?
Yeah, so that's the sort of premise that I have for an additional show. I don't think it would be a weekly show. It'd probably be maybe like an every other week to start. But again, this is the point of doing the Patreon. The more support we get, the more we'll do. So in the beginning, we have that as sort of one of the goals. If we reach a certain monetary amount per month, then we will start doing that show. That's so, one of the
yeah. Goals. So let's talk about this for a second. The very first goal that John and I have is the website is old. The website has been, it's based on the old Apple look and feel, right? Mm-hmm. And it's in dire need of updating. And so the first goal that we have is we want to do a lot of maintenance on the site, make it more friendly, make it so that people can navigate it a little bit easier. And then John and I are also committed, because we want more content and we want people to come to the website and have it be a resource. Our very first goal is we're going to update the website, do some maintenance on it, and then John and I are going to commit to writing posts.
Yes.
And yeah, having content on the site. The second milestone is not only are we going to write, we're going to hire people to come in and help and write content as well. Mm-hmm. You know, because the functional nerds, we've talked about it. We can do so much under functional nerds, under the kind of the umbrella of functional nerds. There's lots of things that we can do. There's lots of things that we can talk about. And that's where John keeps mentioning that we're kind of expanding and getting other people. We should be doing that, because our listeners, even the authors who come on, they don't just read science fiction and fantasy. They play games. And, you know, last night I was at a game night where we were playing Munchkin Pathfinder, and it was a bunch of writers sitting around the table playing Munchkin Pathfinder. You know, these are things that they do. And then the third goal is we're going to add that show. And then Rob will also be one of our contributors, and he's going to be writing stuff for the site.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's we want to add that because we want to pay people, because it's not, you know, people in the beginning when they're just starting out kind of in the online world, you know, they want to get out there. So they're very willing to do stuff for free. But it's not cool, man. It's like, it's not cool to just expect people to do things for free forever. And they can't, you know, you can't allocate that much, you know, time to doing free content. So we want to have good articles, good stuff written. Correct. You know, and we want to pay people for it.
Yes. And so John and I discussed it a lot. We go back and forth. And if you don't know John and I, we can tend to be very focused on the details. And one of the things we don't want people like mad at us. We don't want to piss people off or have them saying, you know, how dare you ask for this or this and that. So that's why we want to make sure that we're doing this right, and we're giving you valuable content for you helping to support us. So we think those first three goals, those milestones, are very attainable. And that's why we've kind of got them set so low, is we think that it's exactly what people are asking for from us. Therefore, we're going to be able to hit them very quickly. Now, when we go beyond that, John, then we start swinging for the fields, right? We're swinging for the back fence, because we're just we have so many ideas and so many things we want to do.
Yeah. So why don't you tell them, or do you want to tell them into the later things now?
I think we should, because it's going to be on the page anyway, right?
Yeah.
Those low hanging fruit goals that we're talking about, you know, John will start another show and have Rob on, and Rob will be contributing, and John and I will be writing. If we get a bump a little bit higher, we're actually talking about adding a third Functional Nerds podcast. And that one, I'm tentatively calling Extra Nerdy. And we'll definitely go into the more nerdy aspects of stuff, like what we were talking about today with Apple Music, right? And really kind of go into depth on that kind of stuff, talk more about TV and film and comics and movies and video games and apps and all that kind of stuff, and just really get extra nerdy on people. And I think that could be awesome. I think there's a lot of people out there who want that as well. And then beyond that, John and I are always talking about going to conventions together. We hardly ever do it. The folks at Capricorn were very nice. They invited us. We were guests of honor. It was a great time for us. Unfortunately, apparently in the fine print, there's nothing about them giving me a cannoli every day for 365 days. Following the con, I don't understand that, Joe. If you're listening, I don't get that. I thought that was, you know, implicit in the whole agreement for us to come there, but that's fine. But we want to do more road trips, and if we hit, you know, that next higher level, we're committed to actually making those trips and going to cons.
Yeah,
and seeing people and having live podcasts. You know, I'd love to be able to do the stuff like Ditch Diggers do. You know, Matt and Murr went to Worldcon and they filled up this really cool auditorium with people, and they did a live Ditch Diggers. We should be able to do stuff like that as well.
Yeah. So we have a lot of stuff planned, and it really just starts with what you're comfortable with. That's the thing, is that we don't want. Patrick and I never want to, and that's why it's taken us so long to actually do it, because Patrick and I are just the kind of folks who are just like, oh boy, that just seems like so, I don't know. It seems like it's sort of an entitled thing. I think Patrick and I, the last thing we want to come off, like, we don't want to come off as entitled, like, we're doing the show and you got to support us. It's not like that at all. We're going to continue doing the show. We've done it for over 5 years without any, really, other than, you know, people here and there who have been nice enough to do that. We do it because we love doing it, and we're going to keep doing it. So it's not like we're trying to guilt people into doing it. People ask us how they can help support the show. So we figured, rather than just, you know, having that PayPal thing where people just randomly throw it in because maybe they just want to support or feel guilty or something like that, it's like, well, we'll do it, but we're going to give stuff for it. We're going to give you more. Like, that's the whole point, is that the show will be better. We'll have more. We'll have more content on the site. We'll have extra shows. The shows themselves will be better. There's going to be some kind of little perk kind of things that if you, you know, sort of support at a higher level, you'll get some extras. So there's lots of good stuff to it. So, I mean, go over to patreon.com and it's /functionalnerds. We'll put it up on our site. We will tweet it and Facebook it and all that kind of stuff as well. And if you like the show, you feel like you get value out of the show, then, you know, consider putting it at a monthly level. It could be $1 a month. It can be $5 a month. Whatever you do, you know, we're usually put out about 4 shows a month. So if you put it at $1, that's a quarter an episode. Is the entertainment and information you get worth a quarter an episode? I would hope so. Maybe not. I don't know. Then just keep listening for free. That's fine too. But, you know, if you really feel like you get value out of the show and you want to get even more value out of it, consider becoming a patron of the Functional Nerds podcast.
So John, we talked about some of the big stuff people get. What about the little stuff? Like if they pledge at different levels?
Okay, so if you pledge at the dollar level, that is our, you know, the baseline level, and that's a where we'll put you on our list of supporters on the website, so you'll get your name in the Hall of Fame, as it were. and if you pledge at the, and now this is per month now,
right.
So if you pledge at the $3 per month level, you will get access to a supporters-only email address where you can suggest guests and future topics, and you will be our bosses, and you could tell us what to do. And isn't that what all of you want to do?
And I was thinking, John, what we could do, and I'm going to throw it out there on the podcast now, and we can discuss it, is, you know, we're going to get emails from people suggesting who we should have on. I think what we could do is decide, like, we'll pick one of those people and one of those suggestions will be one of the four episodes every month.
Yeah. Yeah. And I should also mention too, that these are all up for tweaking. You know, this is the stuff that Patrick and I have come up with now. Chances are we'll probably add some things, take some things away. These are our initial ideas. At the $5 or more per month, it is they watch our episodes as they're being recorded via a special Google Hangout. We're not even really sure how to do that yet, but we know it can be done. And again, that's the whole point, is that if we're getting supported, then we'll figure out how to do all this stuff.
Yeah. I personally think the $5 level is the perfect level.
Yes. Oh, and we should also mention that if you go to our page, the Patreon page, and I'm sure we'll put it on our website and it'll be on YouTube, and maybe we can get DiNardo to run it over at SF Signal as well. Patrick and I recorded a video, you know, basically doing what we're doing now, but in a short little video.
And I have to say, we are the best actors in the world.
Yes. As I mentioned to Patrick, I spent a lot of time editing this, and it is both intentionally and non-intentionally hilarious. Patrick wrote a nice script for us to follow, and we recorded our parts separately and I edited it together. And the script is very funny, but us trying
to follow.
Difficult to follow.
We're not actors.
We're not actors. No. And that adds a level of hilarity to it. So go and watch that. It's a little 2-minute video.
So right now we're bantering back and forth. We're having all this fun. And then when we get to the video, we're like, on the Functional Nerds, we have been doing this for a really long time.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Yeah, it's not
it's
meant
been
to be funny,
over but... 240. Hold on, look down.
Yeah,
40 episodes, and hold on, look down.
I should make an outtakes video too of all of our like, damn it. A lot of that doing takes, but you could check that out over there where we kind of explain some of the stuff too. At the $10 a month level, it is a special extra, just the two of us episode exclusive to Patreon. So if you're doing $10 a month, we will record an episode that is only going to be available to the people that support us on Patreon. That's one of the nice things about Patreon, is that once you become a patron to a specific artist or podcaster, there's a feed there. That you will have exclusive access to this stuff. And then for the last one, at the $20 level, you'll get links to download all of my music for free and all of Patrick's indie pubbed ebooks for free. So you'll get all of our stuff as included in that as well, plus all the lower tiers. That's the thing. When you go to a higher tier, you get everything that's on the lower tiers as well. And again, we're going to probably play around with those, add things, subtract things, whatever people seem to respond to. But that's sort of the initial setup. And as more people do it, that we'll hit those goals and add new things and probably add new goals and stuff. You know, it's a way. Patrick and I have done the show for a long time and we love doing it. The reason why we've been able to do it for so long is that, you know, there have been times where sort of individually we've maybe lost a little enthusiasm for the show. And it's always been the other one that's been, fortunately, it never really happened at the same time where we're just like, screw it, forget it, I'm out of this. So, you know, fortunately, one of us was always up when the other one was down. And I think the way that we work, and I always joke around that Patrick does all the work, and he really does do, you know, a lot of the heavy stuff, but I do another end of it. It's the reason we can keep doing it is because we have our roles within it. And we just kind of have this machine going, and it's great, but we would kind of like to even be more invested in it. We would like to, you know, have it be more of our lives. And doing the Patreon is a way that we can do it. Because if we're getting financially supported, we can justify spending more time on it, because we not only not make money on it, we are in the the red, that's the bad one, right? Yeah, we're in the red on it. It's hard to justify spending more time than we do on
right.
it.
So, and when we talk about even like the things like going to cons, I go to cons, I go on my own dime, and I go as a writer. Mm-hmm. And I try to also, while I'm there, promote Functional Nerds mm-hmm. and Assist Signal podcasts. But it's mm-hmm. always a secondary thing for me because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm trying to get people to buy my books, you know, editors mm-hmm. and publishers. If and one of the hurdles for you is always like, well, you know, gosh, I, Patrick, I can't swing the money to go to that con. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about this, it's like this is exactly what we're shooting towards. Is like if we had a little bit of money, then we can say, well, we've got a little money to throw at this. We can do this. We can do that. You know, and I think we're pretty smart about how we do these things as well. So it's not mm-hmm. like people are going to be wasting that $5 that they
get. Oh, no.
And I'll just throw it out there that, you know, $5 is like a latte. So you just have one less latte a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's, you know, whatever, you know, makes sense for you, it would help us out a lot. If everybody, you know, if a decent enough percentage of the people, because we know our listener numbers, if a decent enough percentage of people did this, you know, we would do pretty nicely on this Patreon, and it would really be quite a boost, both financially and just sort of emotionally. It would really. I'm joking, but it's not a joke. Yeah.
And if you are willing to sacrifice that one latte a month and give us $5, we will do a pumpkin spice episode.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I was trying to get John to spit the water out of his mouth.
Yeah,
that he was sucking down at that moment.
Well, all right, Patrick. So do we want to say, is there anything else that we want to mention before we do start to wrap it up today?
Check out patreon.com/functionalnerds. Check out the video mm-hmm. and then, you know, do what you can do and we'll do what we can do. We're not going to stop. We've already, mm-hmm. you know, like John said, there's been times when one of us is down, the other one's up, and the one who's up always talks the other one back up.
Yeah.
You know, there's been times when we've said, I'm just bored with this format right now. Let's change things up. And then we change things up. And guess what? It becomes fresh and new and live for us. And we also notice when we do those things, that there's like a spike in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And more people come to the site and they're like, oh, things have changed up. This is kind of cool. We like this. So, mm-hmm. you know, we have been very open to feedback. We've been very open to getting, you know, all kinds of authors on here from all different kinds of publishers. And our listeners have supported us just by listening.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's never going to change. We're just going to continue doing this. If you happen to support us on Patreon and we hit the levels that we want, we're going to give you more.
Yeah. So please check it out. It is patreon.com/functionalnerds. And I think that is a good place to end it today, Patrick.
I agree.
All right, everybody. Check it out. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?